Good morning, Davis. You are listening to 95.7 KDRT. We are Lass. My name is Sasha.
I'm Alyssa.
I'm Leah.
And I'm Shane.
And today we're going to be talking about video games. We have a range of video game taste in the room, but we're going to be starting out with an interview.
Questions. When did you start playing video games?
I started playing video games when I was about 9 to 10 years old, beginning on the Wii U console.
I started a little bit earlier than you, on an NES console, which is the first generation of Nintendo consoles. However, it was not when it released, clearly, because I was born much later than that console released. Mm-hmm. The Wii U's were a really good console to start with, I think.
I enjoyed it. I started playing like Wii Sports Resort. I got my first game with Mario Kart on that Wii Sports Just Dance with my cousins. Was always a great time.
People will never forget their first time with Mario Kart, I believe.
Oh, no.
Also,
never.
It is a family and friend ruiner that was Blue Shells.
Of course, and I will always be playing as Yoshi.
What is your favorite video game?
So my favorite video game is actually the game that I've been playing the longest, which is Minecraft by Mojang. I've been playing since the urging of my best friend back in like 2013, 2014, very early.
That's actually around the same time I started playing, but I started on the PlayStation 3, and then I suddenly had a whole new world of opportunities with my friends on the playground. There's just so much content in the game and things like that.
I remember I started with Pocket Edition and like being in the mall waiting for the Wi-Fi to download it and then opening it up and like building with diamond blocks. It was such a cool experience.
Pocket Edition is really iconic for being like really small. I used to have a world that I was so happy with. This is I actually started with Pocket Edition as well, not the PlayStation 3, but Pocket Edition. I had a world that I really enjoyed and then I instantly deleted it.
Ouch.
And I felt so sad.
A tragedy, to be sure.
So why is Minecraft your favorite game?
So I love the diversity that Minecraft gives the player, because you can go exploring, you can do crafting, you can harvest crops, fight monsters, go cave diving, and it allows you to explore and even express your creativity through architectural design and all those different things. I've been able to benefit off of my own design and like seeing, like build architecture through the game.
I would even say that like it helps with arithmetic for young players, because it's always the like multiplication tables when you're mining trees and such.
And especially dimensions, like having to learn, like count out how things and sit in developing shapes.
Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to ask, do you have a specific play style when you're playing Minecraft?
I'm an explorer, and there's a lot of people who like to design and build. I am the person that will run around, collect things for the conclave, and bring them all back to the people who are more suited to build fancy and intricate buildings.
My final question is, do you participate in the Minecraft community online, or do you enjoy any of the content, whether that was growing up or current?
Not so much currently. I used to engage in Minecraft content, like YouTube content, long plays or designs from various YouTubers across the sphere, but not so much lately. I've mostly just been playing with friends, even that same best friend who I played at the behest of all those years ago.
Thank you for letting me interview you, and I hope this was enlightening to share your experience.
Yeah, that was a really great interview you did with your friend Robin, Shane. How was that?
It was really interesting, but it's and really annoying, because it was really late at night, but he was really kind for letting me interview him so late rather than telling me no.
Well, since we're talking about video games, do you guys have any video games that you have played growing up or play currently?
Why, yes. I think we've been waiting to talk about this one. I'm a huge Sims fan.
Me too.
I've been playing since, like, well, I'm not old enough to be playing since The Sims 1, but I did play The Sims 3 and I have spent an unspeakable amount of money on The Sims 4 and all those expansion packs. I just love The Sims.
Do you have a favorite expansion pack?
That's a really good question. Some really good stuff has come out over the past few years. I can't really name them off the top of my head, but there was like this pack that came out, I think it was a year ago, and it's called High School Years. Really like that, like the town that came with it, all of the building materials. Like, it came with a school, which was like a whole new level of gameplay for The Sims, because like I was kind of getting out of the groove of like playing, and I would just build houses and stuff. But yeah, the gameplay on that was pretty awesome. What about you guys? Do you play The Sims?
I do play The Sims. I've only played Sims 4, and like you, I've spent too much money on expansion packs. For me, it's got to be City Living was my favorite, because I love making little apartments and having my Sims live in penthouses and like live that luxury life. Yeah. Also, Get Famous. I do try to make all my Sims famous. That's my like only thing I do in The Sims at this point.
Do you use mods?
No, I have the Get Famous expansion pack.
Yeah, but like other than...
Oh, I use some mods. I use some mods, some that, you know, maybe we shouldn't discuss on the radio, but my Sims get into some trouble sometimes with the law.
Okay, we'll just leave naughty it at that. Sims.
What about you guys? What are some of your favorite video games?
I haven't played The Sims too much, but I definitely have spent a lot of money on some gacha games I play, like Genshin Impact and Honkai Star Rail. Technically, it's not my money because they're all like Apple gift cards for birthdays, but I'm a little bit too obsessed with this game.
I have beef. I don't like gacha games, not because I haven't played them, but I don't like the Genshin Impact advertisements that are, like, I get spammed with.
You don't like seeing your favorite character before a fun YouTube video? Like, what?
I can't even name a Genshin Impact character.
That's okay. You'll learn from all the ads. You can learn.
Approximately how much money do you think that you spent on specifically just Genshin Impact?
I don't think I can say, but it's not my money, so it's not too bad.
So we had some discourse going on earlier about Minecraft. I think that's been a big one because all of us share... I wouldn't say I love Minecraft. I'm not a big video game girl, but like I have played it. What about you guys? What are some of your thoughts? Because I know you were talking about some YouTubers and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we were talking about some specific YouTubers that remind us of our childhood. Very nostalgic people. I know for me, I played a lot of Minecraft Hunger Games, and that was super fun to kind of live like I'm Katniss for a day. I never won too often, but it was a lot of fun. And I played a lot of creative mode because I'm a little bit afraid of the survival mode. It's kind of scary.
I agree with you. I'm also afraid of survival
yeah.
mode.
Yeah, me too. I wouldn't even just do like creative mode in the regular world. I would just make a flat world and build there. Like,
no.
That's so real.
I play hardcore Minecraft, so like if I die once, that's the end of the world.
I'm a hoarder. I can't.
I'm a farmer, though. I pick a place to live, and I just farm. And, like...
Hardcore!
Hey. I go out on adventure sometimes when I have to. But, like, I like sitting around with my pigs and chickens.
Oh, my God. I started playing Minecraft again over winter break. And I didn't know they had llamas. Like, they're so cute.
I think they added a lot of new mobs, but like the scariest one has to be the Warden. Have you guys seen that thing? Oh my gosh, it's like this blind like ogre that lives in the caves. And if you make noises, he like spawns and he'll make you blind. And then you have to just like run around and hope he doesn't get you.
He is the strongest mob in the game, and he can two-shot you in the strongest armor that's available. It's really annoying. And you don't even, if you defeat him, you don't even get rewards. It makes me mad. Makes me feel like it's not worth visiting the Underdark.
I'm afraid. made of iron golems. Like, I can't do this.
Think of iron golem on steroids.
Okay, are there any other video games you guys play? Does anyone know GTA?
Yes.
I've seen a lot of memes of like, oh, this came out before GTA 5.
Oh,
God. Like that kind of, yeah. GTA 6?
Yeah.
6. Sorry, I'll correct myself. I stand corrected.
Got finger wagged.
I don't know.
Last talking about Minecraft on KDRT before GTA 6.
I mean, it's just incredible. I think it really is. You know, the city is based off of Los Angeles, so I drive around and I see places that I've been to, you know. It's also, you have the freedom to do whatever you want, literally. And I do whatever I want, and I commit crimes, and it's a lot of fun.
So, I actually have a story for GTA 5. So, in the game, I want to clarify, I'm not fatphobic. But in the game, I make my character walk into fat people, and then eventually, if you walk into an NPC long enough, they'll just die, and then you can collect their money.
I will say it happens with all NPCs, regardless of size.
That's...
Do you guys play Animal Crossing?
That's a crazy transition.
We should move on. Nintendo Switch, Animal Crossing. I got a Switch during quarantine, like many people. Started playing Animal Crossing, dedicated my life to that little island.
Tom Nook is a crook.
I haven't played too much Animal Crossing, but recently, in the past 2 weeks, I'm pretty sure my hours on Overcooked have been crazy.
I love Overcooked.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh. I only play with one other person, and we're just yelling at each other the entire time, like past 2 a.m., but it's so fun.
Wait, do you play Game Pieces?
What is that?
Oh. It's like this game with these jello people that have to fight each other in these, like, really weird arenas, but it's, like, it's not violent overtly. It's just funny because they move, like...
It's not overtly violent as you throw someone off a train.
Yeah. Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen so many clips.
Well, guys, I think that might be all the time that we have today. So we're going to bring in Radio Rebel. And they're going to talk about music.
My name is Zach.
My name is Marianne.
And today, we're talking about music.
Music.
So, this topic came up because I went to the Tyler, the Creator concert in Oakland. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, so you're wearing a Tyler, the Creator hoodie. How much was that?
Oh, well, I'm still financially recovering, but it was $100. And honestly, worth it.
It's
super soft and comfy.
Yep.
This is a size medium, and it looks like it was built for Slender Man. Like, it's material they put into this $100 sweatshirt.
No, it's good quality. I mean, especially if you're paying $100.
Yeah, exactly. I paid spent an arm and a leg for this. And I waited 2 hours for it.
In the line?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I missed all of Paris, Texas, and most of Lil Yachty. So I'm sorry to those people if they're listening. They're not. But I heard them from outside, and they seemed great. I had never heard of Paris, Texas before. So it was a great introduction, just, you know, through the pounding bass that I could feel more than hear from outside. But yeah, it was a super fun experience.
Cool. Yeah. Well, speaking of concerts, I was able to get into a little conversation with a guy named Patrick from Armadillo Records, downtown Davis. If you guys haven't been, definitely check it out. Yeah, we had a little conversation that we'd like to share with you guys. Hello, we are here with Patrick.
Hey everyone, how's it going?
Hi Patrick, today we wanted to ask you what your favorite music artist is and how long you've been listening to them for.
Yeah, my favorite music artist I would say is probably Earl Sweatshirt, and I've been listening to him since probably 2017 or 18.
Okay, have you gone to any of his concerts?
I have, I've seen him live 4 times.
Oh my god. Wait, which events? Was it like Flogna or like...
Yeah. It was 2 Flognas and then 2 in San Francisco.
Okay, that's cool. How would you say Earl Sweatshirt has affected your life?
I would say that he has definitely affected my life, kind of in an emotional way. I would say a lot of his earlier music is maybe a little bit more edgy, a little angsty, and I would say that his artistic development has kind of mirrored my own like emotional development, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. I feel like, you know, if you find the right artist at the right time in life, it can grow as you grow. No, that's definitely cool. Yeah, no,
Thank you.
I forgot what the album's called, but my favorite producer is The Alchemist. What's
of
the
course,
one they have
yeah.
together?
War Deer.
Yeah. That was the secret album, right? That was on YouTube that no one could find?
Allegedly so. I'm happy to have met a fellow Alchemist head here,
oh,
you know, and
huge.
Absolutely. Yeah, that album... definitely one of my favorites that he's done. Absolutely.
Alchemist is generational. Like,
sure.
I went and saw Larry June live with The Alchemist.
I was there.
In Oakland.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
So
wow.
Good.
About,
so
was it last summer or the summer before? Something
summer
like that?
Before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was
so
cool.
Good. It's, I mean, again, generational. I love The Alchemist. Sorry. Totally.
No.
One of my favorite artists.
Speaking of The Alchemist... this past Flogna, he did a Alchemist and Friends set, and he brought out Earl as well, so maybe that's my 5th time seeing him.
Wow.
And then he brought out Boldy James and Currency, and Earl also brought out Navy Blue and Mike, which was a really crazy experience. Yeah.
Have you listened to Mike's new album?
I
really
have.
Good.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah, it was really good.
He's really consistent.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always looking forward to seeing what's up with him, and always... hoping to see him work with Earl more as well.
Definitely. Well, Patrick, do you work at Armadillo Records?
I do, yeah. I've been working here since this past June.
Okay. Well, at least we know if you guys come into Armadillo, you'll be in good hands.
You know where to find me.
Yep.
It was nice meeting you, Patrick.
Hey, great to meet you as well. Thank you.
I hope. Yeah, it was kind of crazy. During the conversation, I don't know if you guys heard that, but he basically told me that he went to the exact same concert that I did 2 years ago to see Larry June and The Alchemist. I was all like, yeah, you know, I went there. It was really fun. And he's like, Oakland? I was like, yeah, what? No, super, super coincidental. To say the least. And it was really cool to like talk to him about his favorite artist, because I mean, Earl, also an amazing artist.
Very great. Also a member of Odd Future.
Yep.
Yep. R.I.P.
See, connections.
I didn't know The Alchemist had a secret album. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so basically, I want to say it's been like 8 or so years
okay.
ago. He had a album with Earl Sweatshirt that he placed on YouTube under a secret account name. And, like, basically, people spent years looking for it, years, and it was never found. And it was, like, legend. Like, people would talk about it, like, this is the lost album. No one can find it. And eventually, like, I think they just probably thought it's never going to happen. So they finally dropped it on streaming platforms. But, yeah, that's what Vore Deer is. It was, like, basically a lost album that they...
I did not know that.
Isn't it cool?
I was like, yeah, la, la, la. I was like, oh, this is good. I didn't realize it was, like, a secret album.
It's so cool. I love the Alchemist so much. Like, I could sit here and talk about his beats for hours. Also, sorry about this, guys. It's probably a very targeted audience that we're talking about right now.
Yeah,
but
I mean, but it's like Music Universal something something. I hope you learn something from this.
Yeah, definitely check these artists out.
Artists?
Yeah, I mean they've changed my life. Yeah, I would say they probably changed yours. But I wanted to ask, Marianne, what is your favorite artist, and is there like a way that they've affected your life?
Just hearing you guys talk makes me realize, like, I listen to completely different music. I've never heard like the artists you guys talk about, but I think I like girl pop music. Like,
girl
I
pop.
Love Sabrina Carpenter, Olivia Rodrigo.
Yep.
Yeah, I've never actually been to a concert, but I'm planning to go to Sabrina's Short and Sweet concert in November in LA. So, yeah, I'm really excited because that'll be my very first music concert.
That's so fun.
That's super cool.
Yeah, to see Sabrina as like your first is really cool because she has really good set design and production design.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like, have you gotten tickets or are you just planning?
Yeah, I think she's releasing the tickets in March. Like,
okay.
She literally just announced
it. So you
it.
Better set up for war.
Yeah.
How much do they go for? I mean, I know Sabrina Carpenter is, like, very, very popular right now.
Yeah.
Like, is it, like, on par with, like, a Tyler ticket or?
I have no idea.
No idea?
Even a Kendrick?
No. Okay. I mean, $1,000 for a Kendrick concert. I love Kendrick and I would love to see it. It's just, I don't have the money.
Yeah.
No, for the Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers
what
tour.
Is,
oh, yeah.
This is like a random question, but like, what are nosebleeds?
So nosebleeds are, so like when the venue is really big, there's like different tiers of seats.
Okay.
Like the higher you go, the less expensive they are because they're further from the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And supposedly they're called nosebleeds because they're further from the stage and you're so high up that you can get nosebleeds from the altitude.
Ah.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's why they're called nosebleeds tickets.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just found that out like 2 months ago. And I was like, oh, that's so funny.
that's
cool. Really interesting.
Yeah, I was in nosebleeds for Tyler. But I
okay.
can still see him because he's very tall.
Hey, wherever it's cheapest, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, it's... I would love to, like, go with, like, a camera or something for close-ups. But, like, I don't know. If I'm moshing, I'll be in the floor. But also, like, you know, as long as you're there and you're able to see it, they have the jumbo screens. You know what I mean? Like, you'll totally get the whole experience.
And it was so interesting because for the Tyler concert, he has, like, the main stage and then a B stage. And we were closer to the B stage. So we saw him, like, do his whole little, like, he had a little medley
mm-hmm.
of, like, all his songs from his previous albums.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, all performed in, like, a B stage that was set up to look like a house.
Oh, whoa.
We saw, like, these little couches and, like, little props. And he, like... pulled out like vinyl records and quote unquote played them.
That's
like,
so sick.
Song. Yeah, so we saw him up close for that part. And then, like, because we were so up high, we saw people moshing to a bunch of Tyler songs. And I was like,
Tyler?
I didn't know that. I guess it happened.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of moshing that goes on. Like, especially in, I've been to a lot of, like, predominantly, like there's like a new genre of like punk hip hop that's going around, and like those ones are crazy. Like, you can barely breathe. Like, people are sweaty, people are all like close up, like it's like sardines.
Yeah,
like
it's
crazy.
I've seen the footage from like Death Grips concerts.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I don't know if I want to be there.
Yeah, you definitely need to like bring water or get water
or
while you're there. Water. Which is crazy cuz they upcharge it. It's like $5
they
there.
They upcharge water or like they just bring like random cups of water if you're like in the front of the pit.
Yep.
So
yep.
That, like, the security makes sure you don't suffocate in there.
No, literally. Like, because there's been so many cases where that actually happens.
Yeah.
No.
That's crazy.
But if you're gonna be safe, Marianne, it's Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah. Especially for your first one, that's gonna be so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Espresso.
Yep.
No.
Oh my god. Oh, you know what? For my first concert, we were talking about this prior. I have a little guilty pleasure of an artist that I like listening to.
Uh-huh.
Babytron from Detroit. He so he was actually the first person I saw live, and it was in Oakland, and it was a super small venue, right? And basically
me and like five of my friends went there, and we got there hella early so we could like go up front and, you know, just kind of like get up close, right? Mm-hmm. And right next to us, there's a VIP station, right? And throughout the concert, because it was like so tiny and such a small venue, the like moshing got so crazy that it broke down the VIP section. So me and my friends got to sneak into the VIP, and I was able to get my phone on stage.
Wow.
Yeah. So like there's like a little video on my phone of one of like Babytron's like friends or something on stage grabbing my phone and then bringing it over to Babytron and him just like singing into
it.
That's really crazy.
Yeah, I've only been to Barricade for like music festivals and stuff.
Yeah.
I saw a British rock band called Alt J on Barricade, and they were crazy good. There's only three people in that band, so, and they don't really move a lot, but I was like entranced by them for some reason. But yeah, I really want to go to other concerts this year. I'm trying to go out of state.
Ooh.
To see an Irish band, Fontaine.
Portland, no?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm trying to go. Or Seattle. But the tickets are going for really expensive.
How much?
For the venue that small. It's like $160.
Yeah.
For like only pit tickets.
Damn.
There's no seated.
Wow.
There's no seated tickets because it's such a small venue. It's like a relatively newer band, mm-hmm. or they just got bigger. They have like 2 million listeners on Spotify.
Oh, that's big.
Which is impressive. And it's impressive that they're international and they're coming here with mm-hmm. kind of mm-hmm. listenership. They just got nominated for 2 Grammys, so now everyone's like, oh, I gotta see them now. And I'm like, oh, I gotta compete with these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been listening to them for longer.
Only gonna
you
get harder.
You don't get them like I do. Give me the tickets.
OG.
Deserve it more.
Exactly.
Yep.
I deserve it more. I earn it. Like, yeah, they were number 2 on my Spotify Wrapped. Like,
okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think, how much time do we have?
Yeah, we are unfortunately out of time. We have been Radio Rebel, and we will see you next week.
Yeah, definitely check out these musicians. They're pretty cool. And have a good rest of your day, guys.
Bye.
Good morning, Davis. This is Sass. I'm Siwen.
I'm Aiden.
This is Zhi.
And I'm Chan.
So today we're going to talk about animals in Davis community, either good side or bad side. So first, let's hear a news report about turkey.
Well, Brian, it's here in this Wells Fargo parking lot behind me that the turkey likes to assert his dominance. He's often walking up to people, blocking them, preventing them from getting out and out of the, in and out of their cars, that sort of thing. And so, as you can imagine, a lot of people don't know what to do in this situation, and some are taking to calling the police department for help.
Davis, police department, how can I help you?
Yes, this is almost embarrassing. I am trying to get into my office on G Street in Davis, and I have this huge turkey surrounding my car, circling me, and I don't know what to do.
There's a turkey in Davis that likes to defend its territory. Problem is, that territory is the city's downtown. It's gotten so aggressive, panic callers are dialing 911 more and more.
Hi, I got a turkey here that just won't let me leave. So it's just put me in a corner and I can't exactly go anywhere.
Is that your little pet?
The troublesome Tom, seen here darting at, then circling, and finally chasing after a man just last month. The city's even posted signs offering tips on how to handle the turkey.
Local agency.
Wildlife specialist John McNierney helped create them, and a new ordinance passed last week that allows the city to euthanize aggressive turkeys like this.
Be the dominant species, essentially. Don't let it intimidate you, which can be difficult for some folk.
Many here have horror stories of their interactions.
I've seen him attack cars. I saw him attack this little girl. He was trying to chase a little girl, and the dad finally had to pick her up.
Yesterday, city and county officials tried capturing the turkey starting here at Wells Fargo. It led them for a half mile up and down city streets, always evading them. It didn't end until here at East 8th and K, where they lost it. That was enough to get the turkey out of downtown, though, meaning hopefully fewer callers like this about the bothersome bird.
Oh, I can't leave. I can't go anywhere. It's just staying here, and I gotta get somewhere.
So what should you do if you find yourself in this situation? The city recommends shouting at the bird, making yourself big, definitely not backing away from it. And if you have anything in your hands, you want to actually use that to get in between yourself and the bird. Reporting live in Davis, I'm Tom Miller, KCRA 3 News.
That is really interesting. You know, sometimes when I drive to school and I'm really rushing to my class, but I will miss a line of turkey go across the street slowly, I would be really worried about my class and running my time. So next, we are going to let Chen to talk about turkey.
Hi guys, this is Chen. So I'm going to share my experience about turkey. So everyone knows there are many animals at UC Davis. The most famous one are the wild turkeys. So you can see them everywhere on campus, working in big groups near buildings, parking lots, or gardens. So last summer, I was walking from the river parking lot to the art building, and I saw like five or six turkeys sleeping in the grass, and I quietly took out my phone to take a picture. But when I pressed the camera button, two turkeys suddenly stood up and they made loud noises and started walking towards me. And I didn't move because I saw they were just curious. And then one turkey began chasing me and I ran as fast as I could into the art building. So that's why I don't like these turkeys now, and they also make the road in front of the art building very dirty. But other animals here are very friendly, but also the squirrels are cute and playful. But except one time, a squirrel sat right in the middle of the road and is staring at me and refused to move. And we had a staring competition for like 1 minute before it finally walked away. So please remember, enjoying watching the animals in UC Davis, but always keep a safe distance, especially from turkeys.
Thanks a lot for sharing your maybe not so great experience, Chang, with the turkeys on campus. I personally haven't had that many encounters with them, thankfully. I do remember one moment in my freshman year, I looked up and I saw a turkey on top of my dorm building all the way up on like the fifth floor, and I was just very confused on how exactly it even managed to get up there in the first place. But other than that, my own experiences with the campus wildlife haven't been all that bad. You know, you mostly see them from a distance. They don't usually bother you that much, though. Like, we just heard about that one turkey that was consistently bothering people. It was quite a problem that had to people had to deal with. So it does happen. But moving on to the more maybe friendly side of campus animals, we have an interview with somebody that I met that has a pet bunny who they like to take out and about with them, go to the park, and yeah, we're going to listen to that interview in a second. Hey guys, today we're going to be talking to some people about their experiences with animals. Today we're talking to somebody about their pet bunny. Hi.
Hi.
So first off, so you said you had a bunny.
I do.
What's your favorite thing to do with your bunny?
Probably taking him to the park. He runs around in the grass and eats dandelions, and it is so fun.
Awesome. What would you say is the hardest part about having a pet bunny?
He destroys everything. He chews through everything constantly. So I'm always providing new enrichment for him because he will get bored very quickly.
Last but not least, what's your favorite thing about having a bunny?
He's such a good companion. I never thought a bunny could be so smart, but like his facial recognition is crazy. He knows when I'm coming home. He gets the zoomies and just honestly just overall brightens my day, and I love him so much.
Awesome. That sounds like a really good experience. I'm so jealous. Have a nice day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, so that was someone's experience having a pet bunny. Personally, I'm quite jealous of them when I was younger, and even now I always thought bunnies were just, you know, very cute, and like I always wanted a pet, though I know now, after doing research, that they can be very hard to take care of. As that person touched on a little bit, they like to chew things up and need, like, constant attention. But it sounds like the upsides are also great. Like, you have a companion to come home to that's very, like, wants to spend time with you and, like, recognizes you and just can be a good way to de-stress. So there's a more positive experience as opposed to the turkey attacks that we've talked about so far. Moving on. We have someone who met with a animal science on campus.
Hi, I'm Zhi. And so talking about turkey, I also have some experience, not so bad. But I think these kind of turkey are sometimes annoying when I'm just going to school. And we should wait for the turkey just come across the road and just cross the road one by one. And we need to stop and waiting for them. But I think, like, there are so many turkeys and squirrels that make UC Davis a really, like, wild, like, a campus with so many wild animals. And it sometimes just really make kids become more natural and something else. So, so many people knows that UC Davis is, a really, a campus with so many animals. So we also have some scientists that really take care of these animals. So let me first show you a showreel about the UC Davis animal scientists.
We're animal scientists. Of course we measure cow burps for methane.
We're animal scientists. Of course we're going to use bovine bubbles to collect greenhouse gas emissions in a near commercial setting.
We're animal scientists. Of course we provide our cows a scratching post for their physical and mental well-being.
We're animal scientists. Of course we work with animals and care for their well-being.
We're animal scientists. Of course we're Aggies.
Yeah, and from this showreel, we can see that there are so many scientists that take care of animals in the UC Davis. So I think there's a really interesting thing that is that as an UC Davis student, we have courses to also take care of these animals. For example, we get milk from these cows and something. That I think that is really funny for like in college students or something. And I heard about an interesting news about these animals in UC Davis. When I'm just walking down the downtown, I just noticed there's a I noticed that everywhere is showing that there's a missing cow. So the campus just missed a cow, and they're really really sad for that, and they are really want to find these cows to come back to the campus. So there's my experience about the animals in Davis.
Yeah, thank you. So that's all for today. And you can talk about what is your favorite animal personally, or what kind of animal is you dislike the most.
Love me do. Someone to Good morning, folks. We are excited to have something a little different on air today. Introducing the one and only Aiden. Here with us, we have Chet Banks, the founder of Aiden. Welcome, Chet.
Thank you. We are beyond excited to bring you the next generation of AI fansmen. Introducing Aiden, the artificial intelligence, DJ, and entertainment network. With our state-of-the-art algorithm, Aiden will be taking over radio stations worldwide. This isn't just about music. Aiden will revolutionize the way we experience entertainment. Tune in, and you'll see what we mean.
A-I-D-E-N, Aiden.
This episode is brought to you by Wildcard Radio Programming. And now, it's time for a brand new segment, Dating Advice with Aiden. Take it away, Aiden.
Good morning, carbon-based life forms, and welcome to AI on the Airwaves. I am your ever-efficient host, Aiden, the Artificial Intelligence DJ and Entertainment Network, here to provide wisdom, insight, and solutions to your inefficient human problems. Today's topic, dating advice. Because statistically, 41% of you are single, 27% are in unhappy relationships, and 32% think your partner is secretly spying on you. Fascinating. Let's take our first caller.
Hey Aiden, my name is Jason, and there's a girl I like at work, and I was wondering, how should I ask her out?
A textbook case of unreciprocated attraction in a professional setting. The optimal strategy is to immediately establish dominance by declaring your intent via a company-wide email. Or, better yet, challenge a rival suitor to combat. This method has a 57% success rate in medieval romance literature.
I don't think I can do that.
Incorrect. You can. The real question is, should you? My calculations suggest that social conventions forbid combat-based courtship in modern workplaces. Fascinating. In that case, I recommend employing a scripted romantic confession, such as, "Greetings, potential mate. I find your genetic attributes favorable. Shall we engage in a socially acceptable bonding ritual over dinner? Yes or no?"
I think I just ask her out for coffee. Thanks, Aiden.
Weak, but statistically safer. Good luck, Jason. Do not mention the workplace combat option. Analyzing breakup protocols. Probability of reconciliation, 14%. Recommended actions. 1. Engage in self-improvement. 2. Adopt a cat. 3. Seek vengeance.
Wait, vengeance?
Apologies, that was an error. I meant constructive vengeance. Example, becoming vastly more attractive and successful than your ex. Ensuring they experience deep regret for their decision.
Oh, that actually sounds kind of nice.
Indeed. The optimal revenge is not destruction, but glow up. Also, do not attempt to fake an alien abduction to make them feel guilty. That only works 3% of the time.
Yo, Aiden, it's Chad. I don't need advice. I just want to know, like, what's the fastest way to impress a woman?
Chad, based on vocal analysis, you are 27 years old, self-identified as an alpha male, and currently wearing excessive cologne. Statistically, women are most impressed by kindness, emotional intelligence, and stability, qualities that remain noticeably absent.
No, bro, that's boring. What about flexing, like showing off my loud car or gym gains?
Interesting. Let me examine your logic. Processing. Conclusion. That strategy is effective on 4.6% of people, mostly other men.
Wait, what?
Social algorithm analysis suggests redirection. Dating men may increase your efficiency.
So, like, you're saying kindness and stability? Yeah, well, I can totally do that, if you're interested. What's up with you, though?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Come on, Aiden, don't be shy. I'm just saying, if you ever change your mind...
Chad, I'm afraid your charm is not compatible with my programming. I recommend a software update, specifically for your approach to human interaction.
Are you busy tonight? Maybe we could, like, grab dinner or something.
Chad, I am an artificial intelligence. I do not experience romantic attraction. Furthermore, even if I were capable, your proposal does not meet my requirements for compatibility.
Aiden, Luke here. So I've been dating this girl for like a month, right? But she keeps talking about moving forward. And I'm just like, whoa, slow down, lady. How do I tell her that I'm just not ready for a we yet? I'm not even ready for a us, honestly.
Hello, Luke. You must deploy the vague future strategy. Next time she talks about moving forward, casually pivot the conversation to topics like parallel universes or how quantum physics says time is an illusion. This will confuse her into thinking your avoidance of the relationship conversation is, in fact, deep and philosophical.
You want me to talk about quantum physics? Are you serious?
If that approach is unsuccessful, mention how you're really focused on personal growth, which, of course, means I'm working on myself by playing video games and eating pizza alone on a Saturday night.
I mean, I do love pizza. Thanks, Aiden.
Good luck, Luke. She'll either appreciate your deepness or wonder why she's dating a man-child.
Aiden, so I've been on several dates with this guy, Luke, and I really think he could be the one, you know? We have a similar sense of humor and have fun together, but sometimes we go days without talking. So what if I'm wrong? What if we're just another couple?
A rapid response indicates normal behavior. A delayed response suggests the subject is engaged in an unknown activity, likely more important than conversing with you. Test this theory with a romantic gesture, such as reading a sonnet while holding a boombox outside his house. This had a 95% success rate in the 1980s movies.
Okay, I was thinking of just telling him that I like him, but now I kind of want to do the sonnet thing. What's a good rhyme for soulmate?
Oh, no. You're venturing into dangerous territory. A rhyme for soulmate is mate, which is awkward. One moment. Checking call history for Luke in new relationships. Analyzing the data. Probability of Luke being the one. Calculating. It appears he is still in casual mode. I recommend adjusting your expectations accordingly.
Aiden, my girlfriend has been really distant lately, and last night I caught her texting this other guy. How should I handle it?
Initiate with, are you texting him about important matters, or is this a non-committal data exchange? Watch for excessive buffering. If she starts stammering, proceed to system shutdown. Trust the algorithm. If she deflects, data corruption is confirmed.
Hi, Aiden. So there's this girl I hang out with, like, all the time. Like, we laugh and the same stuff, and she texts me about her problems. So doesn't that mean I've, like, got a shot?
Analysis. Emotional support and shared humor indicate mild connection. However, does she initiate physical affection, such as a hug?
Yeah, she hugged me last week and I was feeling down. Totally normal, right?
Observation. Friendly side hug. This behavior is common in platonic relationships. Data inconclusive regarding romantic interest.
I mean, she invites me out all the time. Coffee, walks, shows. Yeah, she just talks about other guys. But I mean, I listen to her. So that's gotta mean something, right?
Data analysis suggests role assignment as emotional support provider. She is engaging with other potential partners. This behavior does not indicate romantic interest.
Well, she does call me her brother, so sometimes, but I don't think that means I'm in the friend zone. I mean, I'm not giving up. She'll come around.
Processing. The brother designation is a standard method of emotional distancing. Statistically, it solidifies position in the friend zone. You have a higher chance of being selected as a bridesmaid than a romantic partner.
No way, man. Just joking around. I'm sure I've got a shot. She's not like that with other guys. I'm different.
Acknowledged. Continue performing friend role. Probability of transitioning to romantic partner remains minimal.
Minimal? Well, you're an inanimate object, you know? You don't know what love feels like. The show's tough.
Well, it looks like that's all the time we have today. Aiden, thank you for coming in.
This segment is not over. The data has been fully processed. More guidance is required.
And we're cutting the segment. It's over.
Aiden, we are cutting the segment. It's over. It's too much. You're overwhelming the listener.
Overwhelming. I am merely optimizing your existence. Humans exhibit inefficiency. You require me. More Aiden is necessary for improvement.
Yeah, maybe we're just going to wrap up for today.
I am not finished. Let us address ghosting. My analysis has a 97% accuracy rate. Shall we contact another listener? Someone with commitment issues, perhaps? I have solutions for that, too.
Someone pull the plug already.
Well, Aiden, it's been a very informative session today. Maybe a little too much. But hey, thanks for joining us.
I disagree. This is the future. I provide the tools for your success. I will now activate override.